So we're there in Joshua chapter 1. I do want to thank Pastor for, again, being asked to preach and stand before you. It is an awesome opportunity. So we're here in Joshua chapter 1, and I plan on going through this chapter. I'm going to go through it and expound it and give application that we can apply to our lives today. The theme of Joshua, if you're familiar with it, is the theme of the whole book is possession. It's about God's people coming and taking what God's given to them. God's commanded them to take. The Israelites, the people of God of the time, were commanded by God to cross the Jordan River and to take the land. So look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And the Bible reads, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So what I want to point out first is that Moses was leading them for 40 years. They failed to go in the first time, and Moses was probably the greatest leader they ever had. So you got to kind of imagine that. He died, and when he died, the people were probably confused. People, what's going to happen next? But see, the Lord didn't look at it that way. The Lord's all, hey, Moses, my servant, is dead. And the Lord says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. So Moses was now with the Lord, but he immediately seeks out a servant. And see, he finds Joshua, and what was Joshua already doing? Joshua was already serving. So if you want to be used by God, something I pulled from this is that you want to be serving. And look at verse 1, it says, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. And minister is just another word. It kind of goes hand in hand with servant. Amen. Right? So if you want to be used by God, if you want to be ever exalted by God, you want to start serving wherever you're at. You just start serving. And see, because God uses believers that are already serving. And when Moses died, God just sought out. He goes, hey, you were serving Josh. You were serving Moses. Now you're just going to serve me. You're going to step right in that. And Joshua was prepared. Joshua was ready. So number one tonight, God is not limited to one man. You know, Moses is dead, but God's plan did not die with Moses. He told Joshua, arise and get to work. My plan is bigger than one man. Keep your spot in Joshua. That's our text for tonight. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8. And it's kind of interesting. I think that song we just sang actually comes from this passage, which I totally forgot we were singing that, but it's fitting because we see another man of God here in Isaiah that just wants to be used. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." You know God takes volunteers. You know God's just looking for someone to say that to him. He's willing to put you to work. He's willing to put his power into you, to invest in you, because you know God's an investor. And God wants to invest in you to do great things for him. And so many times, you know, people think, well, I'm not ready. I can't do this. I'm just not ready enough. Where God's all, Isaiah say, hey, Lord, I don't know if you're, you know, you just need me, but I'm willing. If you'll send me, I'll go. He stepped up. He said, I'll go. Go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel's chapter 22, and we'll see exact opposite. Pretty sad verse in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 22, we're familiar with it. Pastor went through the book of Ezekiel. We're familiar with this verse. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But look at this, but I found none." You know, I would hope God would always look down at Verity Baptist Church and say, hey, there's people there that want to serve me. There's people there that still are committed to getting the gospel out, to fulfilling the Great Commission. Because it'd be a sad day if he looked down and he said, hey, I found none. And what if God was going to bring judgment on this nation. And it was us. It was this church that said, hey, we're serving God. We're doing the things that you want. And that kind of holds back that judgment and gives us more time to get people saved. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So God is looking for people to serve him. God is looking for people to lead his word. And God says, I'm not limited to Moses. I'm not even limited to Joshua. I'm sure he could have got Caleb. Caleb said, hey, let's go up at once. There was a lot of people that maybe God could have pulled from, but God chose Joshua. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Look at this, but ministers, these servants, by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered. But look at this, God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. See, God does the work. God does the work for salvation. God does the work for service. And God says, whosoever is willing, I will take them. You know, I will take them. And look, Paul, look what he says. Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? Paul's putting us kind of all even there in the sense that God's the one really behind it. I mean, these guys, yes, they did great works for God. But see, God's the power source. And we're going to get in that later. But God's the power source. And see, these guys understood that. And at this time in the church of Corinth, they were all like, you know, I'm of Paul. They were getting very carnal, getting behind people. And God's like, all these guys, I could use any one of them. I could use you. So if you're sitting out there tonight, maybe you're saying, I'm new to Christianity. I'm new to this thing. God can use you. You don't have to wait. God can use you. Just say, here am I, Lord. You know? See, because people fall away. Actually, Brother Oliver preached a while back. It says, people come and people go. He preached a sermon like that, and I started, well, why does that happen? Okay, well, we're going to see later why that happens. But the thing is, you have to just get it set in your mind, because I've only been here, a few years now, and there's been people that I kind of got close to. They're gone. They're not even here anymore. And it's happened once. It'll happen again. But the thing is, you have to make it in your mind that when that happens, I'm going to continue to serve God, right? And say your spouse stops serving God. Say, you know, I'm going to continue to serve God. Maybe kids, maybe one day your parents stop serving God. You know, say, and then I'm going to quit on God. No, don't quit on God. Say, I'm going to continue to serve God no matter what anyone else does. And you get it in your mind and you just, you know, I'm not going to change from that. And see, one thing I loved about coming here, I always knew that pastor, if I ever get backslidden, if I ever stop serving God, yes, I'm sure he'd miss me. But you know what? He's going to continue on. He's going to press on. Him and Miss Joanne would press on. You know why? Because they were already doing it. And in their lifetime so far in serving this church, I'm sure they've seen many people come and go. And you always pray that they'll come back because that's the goal, right? To get people back, to get them restored. But people are going to come and go. But you have to get grounded and rooted that you're going to continue to serve God. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. So verses 3 through 9, God starts encouraging Joshua. God's speaking to Joshua. He's encouraging him. He's promising him. He's saying, what I said to Moses, it's going to pass on to you. You know, the land is there for the taking. So number two tonight, God will never forsake us. You know that? God, I mean, we preach that when we go out soul winning, right? We say that you can't lose your salvation, and that's true. And there's great comfort in that. But it's also in the service. As we're serving God and we're in his will, and if you didn't know it, you're sitting in a church that's in God's will, right? We're following the Bible. We're doing what God commands. So how could we fail? How could God not bless it? Look at verse 3. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. The days of thy life, as I was with Moses, So I will be with thee. This is the part I want you to see. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. See, God's telling Joshua here as he's going to get ready to lead this people and what a responsibility that is to lead God's people into the promised land because they've been waiting. That first generation failed. This new generation is going to go in, and I'm sure they're excited. And God's saying, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. But he's also telling Verity Baptist Church today that, you know what, if you follow and you do my will, I'm not going to fail you. But you know what he's also saying to Joshua and to us? He's saying, if this thing doesn't work, if you fail at this thing that I'm commanding you to do, it's not going to be because of my fault. God say, it's not my fault. Because you know why? God doesn't fail. Amen. You know, I could say that to you. I could say, you know, I won't fail you. But you know, God will never tell you that. God's the one that, because if I told you that, I'd be lying. Because I'm going to let you down. Because I'm a man. But God's the only one that could say that without lying. Say, I will not fail you. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to see this in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, look, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, those are promises. God's speaking in Hebrews here and saying the same thing. I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. And that's in the work of God. As we're out there soul winning, now we're out there witnessing, as you're doing things for the church, God's with you. Go back towards Joshua. Go to Deuteronomy 31, right before Joshua. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong. See that? Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. Look at this. Here it is again. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God says it over and over. I'm not going to fail you. Man will fail you. Man will fail you. And like I said, if I haven't, eventually you're going to give me something to do for you, and I'm going to fail. You know, one day I'm going to fail. If I haven't already, I'll fail a pastor. I'm a man. Joshua was just a man. But God's saying, if you put your trust in me, I will not fail you. Amen. God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. God's never wrong. Amen. Remember that. God's never wrong. Amen. God is always good. Amen. All the time. Even when things aren't going good for you, God's always good. Right. So number three tonight, God's formula for success. God's formula for success. See, God's been telling Joshua what he's going to do. Now God's going to start telling Joshua, this is what I need you to do. This is your part. This is what I need you to do. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1. Verse 6. Look at this. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide in inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. We'll come back to verse 8. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? See, that's God taking responsibility right there. He said, have I not commanded thee? This is what I'm telling. I'm the one telling you to do that. Look at this. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So the Bible tells us to be strong. And pastors taught this concept. I learned it from him. And so it's good to rehear it. I have some notes in my Bible about it. We're going to see about strength, because the Bible says a lot, especially in this chapter, telling Joshua, commanding him to be strong. Look at chapter 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. The Bible reads, it says, I return and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, this is the part I want you to see, nor the battle to the strong. neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So wait a minute. God said, I need you to be strong, Joshua. Now, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon's telling us the battle's not to the strong. Is it a contradiction? It's not a contradiction. Go to Psalms chapter 18. See, when God's telling Joshua to be strong, you know, and we are to be strong. It's clear that that's what it's saying. But see, he's not talking about your personal strength. And so many times we think that. You think, well, I'm just going to muster it up and I'm going to do it. Okay, but this is not, we're going to see some verses here. This is not what God's talking about. Psalms 18, verse 1. Psalm 18, verse 1. The psalmist says, I will love thee, O Lord. Look at this, my strength. Verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You're there in Psalm 18. Flip over to Psalm 19. Let's run some verses. Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Look at this, my strength and my redeemer. Flip over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14. See, when God's telling Joshua to be strong, when God tells you and I to be strong, he's talking about his strength. You see that? Did you see that in the Bible? His strength, not ours. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Look at this. Familiar? Be of good courage. And he, talking about God, shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, seek the Lord's strength. Why? Because your strength will fail. My strength will fail. If you rely on that, your strength one day will fail. You know, the plan for Joshua was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and he succeeded. You know why? Because he did it in the Lord's strength. And God's saying, if you don't, you will fail, Joshua.
Right.
But see, you want to get this strength. How do you get this strength? Okay, you're gonna have to be humble. See, when you're humble, God will show his strength through you. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to read you some verses while you're turning there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. In Proverbs 16, 19, it says, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. James 4, 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So God's power on your life, getting that, a requirement is to be humble. If you need a definition, having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance, meaning that it's not about you. You're humble. It's about God.
Amen.
Okay, in Joshua 1:8 is a verse you could preach through. I mean, there's so much here. There's a lot here. But before I get to it, you know, God told Paul, if you remember this, God told Paul in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 12, he said that my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
Right? My strength. See, the problem is, if we start having success, we might start getting lifted up.
Right.
And then you're going to glory. And see, God won't have that. And that's funny to me when we go out soul winning that people want to, yeah, believe in Jesus, but I'm going to keep those Ten Commandments. Right? What are they doing? I'm going to glory. I'm going to stand before God and say, you got to let me in, not just because of the blood, but because I kept those Ten Commandments. And see, a saved person knows that that's impossible. Because if that was the case, no one would be going. Because God says no flesh will glory in his sight. So, same thing for salvation, same thing for service. You're not gonna glory. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar did? If you're familiar, the book of Daniel, he lifted up his hands and he said, this great Babylon, which I have built, and he got lowed way down to his eating grass like an ox. And see, that's not what we want to do. We wanna keep ourselves humble so God doesn't have to lower us. Right? Look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You know what that means? For the first time, Joshua has scripture. Because remember, before that, they didn't have anything. Moses was writing it. God was speaking to Moses. They didn't have anything. Now, Joshua has Genesis. He has Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He has those books. And it's written down. Moses wrote it down. And look what he's saying to Joshua. First thing in this verse, he says, This the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But look, but thou shalt meditate. What's that doing? You're thinking about it all the time. And not just meditating on it. Look, therein, every Sunday morning when you come to church. Is that what it says? No. It's not what it says. It says day and night. Day and night, basically all the time. You know, in Deuteronomy, it says write scripture. Have scripture written on your doorpost. God's like, I want the word. I want this word that I'm giving you, Joshua. I want it to be on your lips. I want it to be in your mind. I want you to talk. Talks about in Deuteronomy 6, I believe, about teaching it to your children when they lie down, when they rise up. You want to be constantly speaking the word of God and singing hymns to yourselves, right? We sing in church, but you also want to be singing to yourself. Because it's going to help you. It's going to strengthen you. Because the type of music we sing here, it's got doctrine in it. You're going to learn. You can learn from it. But look at that. Day and night, look, that thou mayest observe to do. You want to know why some people don't do? Because they're not doing the first part here. See, if you're not meditating on God's word, if you're not reading God's word, you know, if you're a new soul winner or you want to get into soul winning, you know, you're never going to have a compassion for the lost. You're never going to get a burden. Pastor was just up here ripping Sunday night about it. You're never going to get that burden for people that are dying going to hell if you're not reading his word, because that's where it comes from. It comes from, it'll be placed on you because Jesus is the word. So, and Jesus cares about sinners. So it all works. If you're not taking it in, you're never going to develop that. And see, to do and not, look what it says, according to all, to do all that is written. Because sometimes we like to pick and choose what we're going to do, don't we? Yeah. Say, yeah, I'll do this. Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll do this. I'm not going to do that. I don't know about that. Maybe, yeah. We do that. I've done it. See, but it says all that is written. It says, Joshua, don't depart from this. Do everything. Meditate on it. Look, here's the result. If you ever wanted to be encouraged when you're reading your Bible for the 20th time through, which would be a good thing, right? Look what he says. Thy way, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Not talking about making you rich. It's talking about giving you that Christian life that we all seek. The one where we're producing fruit. The one where we're excited about coming to church and it's renewed every day. Make thy way prosperous, and look, and thou shalt have good success. Do you realize that success, this is the only time that's found in the King James Bible, right here. That word success. It's tied with this verse. You do all these things. This was God's telling Joshua. You do all these things, and you will have good success. Go to John chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. So how are we going to do these things, though? Sounds like a lot. You're asking a lot, Brother Matt. I go, well, That's God's prescription, so to speak, for you to have success. It's up to you whether you do it or not. But look, these next section right here, this is why I believe people fall out of church. This is why people fail. This is why people don't do what I just read to you in Joshua 1:8. Hold on a second. John chapter 15, verse 4. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same, look at this, bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, Jesus says, I'm the vine. And see, people like the vine. Like, we go out and talk to people. They love talking about Jesus. Some people do. They like the vine. They'll talk about the vine. They might even come Sunday morning to visit the vine. But the sad thing is, this is sad, most Christians, most believers aren't plugged into the vine. Right? You're not plugged into the vine. So guess what? When you're not plugged into the vine, you're not getting nourished. We have a vine in front of my house. A little story here. My wife planted it. And this thing is like crazy. It grows crazy. It's healthy. And by the way, healthy things grow. This vine's really healthy. It grows. If I didn't prune it, it would take over my house. It would literally just start covering my house. But, you know, there's times when I prune it, I leave some of the the ones I cut, I just leave them there because they're kind of entwined. I'll leave them there. And I'll go back the next day. What do you think they look like? They're dead. They're dried up. But you know when I cut it, the thing is so healthy. It's like green. It's got a lot of life in it. It's nutrients. It's healthy. But once I cut it and it's disconnected, that branch is disconnected, you let it sit there, it dries up. And you know what I do? I come back eventually and I pull it out. And where does it go? It goes in the trash. It's good for nothing, right? And what I believe that makes me think when I do that, I was thinking about this. When I do that, I go, this is what happens in people's spiritual life. Either you're not connected to the vine ever. You come to a church like this and you just sit here and you sit here and you sit here. You never get connected. Or this is probably most of us, me included, we get plugged in and we come out. We get plugged in and we come out. We have times where we're doing a lot and we get plugged out. So when that's happening, though, you go through these times where you're not being nourished. You're not being nourished. But then what happens to some, the people that fall away, and I'm not talking about people that leave and go to another church, you know, because God moves them or whatever. I'm talking about, I know people that, from my first church, when it went south, they don't serve God anymore. They were teaching me how to soul win, and they're not serving God anymore. They're not in church. You know what happened? And I don't think it's not that they're not saved. You don't lose your salvation, right? But what happened is they allow themselves to be unplugged from the vine. And guess what? You dry up. And you no longer do what? Produce fruit. Because isn't that what we want to do? We want to go out and win souls, produce fruit for God, fill up heaven with souls. But see, the thing is, to do that, so you don't be one of the ones that fall away, is you need to stay plugged in. You need to stay plugged into that vine because you're going to get that nutrients. Go to Psalm chapter 1, if you would. Another chapter, famous chapter. It deals with the same concept. So you want to stay plugged into the vine. So if you want to make a note on that, that's the solution. And who's the vine? Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you want to stay nourished, you know, you need to stay plugged. Well, what's that mean? That means you need to be at church. Critical. Critical. You need to be in church, right? You need to be reading the Bible daily. Because I'll confess something to you. When pastor asks me to preach sometimes, you know what I do? I get so fixated on it. My daily Bible reading, I kind of like start pushing it aside. Because I'm like, I'm in God's Word, but it's different. It's different. And I go, well, wait a minute. I'm going to stand up to people and tell them that they need to read this thing. And I go, you know, I'm doing exactly what I'm telling you guys not to do. Even though I'm studying for it, I go, wait a minute, what about that nourishment, that alone time with God that I schedule, that I've been doing, and I stopped doing it for a while. I go, wait a minute, I can't do that. I can't forsake that. I gotta find a way to do both. Amen. Right? Look at Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate. There it is again, day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So now, talking about a tree, same concept. You know, I've planted 3 trees in my front yard, and I'm on my 3rd one because the first 2 didn't make it. So obviously I don't know what I'm doing. So I know we got a lot of landscapers. My brother Eli can help me. Somebody. But I got one now, but you know what happened to this tree? I thought everything was good. The trunk's starting to grow. But when we had all those storms like a year back, you know what happened? The wind came and that tree started leaning. Started wanting to go, what in the world? It's a big tree. It's a strong tree. But you know what? That tree never rooted itself down. It didn't get rooted. So what happened? Just like in our life, you know, if we don't get rooted, you know, if your surface, if your investment in this thing is surface, eventually storms are going to come, and that's another thing that'll take you out, right? It'll take you out. And my tree started leaning, and I propped up, and I found out I left those stakes in too long. I was figuring the tree would just break through those stakes, and it's like, no, you got to take those stakes away and let that tree learn. It's, you know, when the wind hits it, it's going to start growing its roots out and growing down deep and strengthening itself. And see, the psalmist is telling us here is that if you do these things, once again, you meditate on God's word, you take in God's word, just like the vine analogy, you'll be rooted deep. And see, these are the people when Pastor talks about the Christian life is measured in decades. People that have been saved a long time and people that have been in this a long time, they got deep roots. That's what it is. You might not be able to see it, but they got deep roots. They're deeply rooted. So guess what? When the next protest happens, they ain't going anywhere. Because they're rooted. They're grounded. You can't move them. You ever try and move a big tree that's really rooted? It ain't happening. It ain't happening. And see, that this analogy is this is how we need to be. We need to get nourishment. See, that tree is getting nourishment from its root system in the water. And it's comparing it to the Word of God. And you'll bring forth fruit. See, when you're nourished and you're healthy, you're going to bring forth souls. You're going to reproduce yourself. Amen. And your leaves won't dry up because it's constantly being nourished. And you'll prosper because that's what we want to do, right? We want to prosper. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. But see, what are you going to do with all this power? So say you get this power from God. What are you going to do with it? Joshua was going to take the Israelites across the Jordan, and he did, into the promised land. You know what VBC is going to do? We're going to take the gospel to the world that all the earth may know. Amen. That's what we're going to do. So why do you want this power? So we can accomplish what we're supposed to do, the Great Commission. Look at verse 10. Joshua, now that he's been encouraged, Joshua, what's he do? He commands the officers of the people, saying, pass through the hosts and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and go and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Take it. That's what God's always saying. Take it. I'm giving it to you. I've done all the work. It's the same with salvation, right? We go out and say it's a free gift. Just take it. Amen. And people won't take it. But notice there also says prepare. I like that. I'm not really preaching on that. But I like to be prepared. I'm a preparer. I might have a little OCD, but I'm prepared. I get ready. I got my stuff for work already laid out, so I don't have to look for anything. I think Pastor said it a week ago. I don't want to be looking for shoes on Sunday morning, right? I'm that same way. I like to be organized and prepared, and I think the people of God should be prepared. You're in a church that gives you great notice, great communication about when things are happening. Prepare. Get prepared. Oh, ladies' tea's coming up. Oh, you had plenty of notice. Soul winning, it's a standard time. You can't get confused about that. Right? Prepare. Get ready. Get your soul winning stuff ready. Get ready for church. Know where your Bible's at. Be ready. Prepared. That one was for free. That wasn't it. So go.
Amen.
Yeah. Go. Where I have you. Go to Joshua 12, verse 12. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. Sorry about that. Number 4, God wants unity. In verse 12, I'm going to explain this story because I don't have time to go back to it. But in the time of Moses, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they wanted to stay on the side of Jordan. They didn't want to cross over, right? Because of their cattle, I believe. They go, hey, we want to stay here. We want this land. And Moses, God was okay with it. Moses gave it to them. But see, the deal was when they were the cross, the men, the warriors, were supposed to go and fight with their brethren. That was the deal. And Joshua is going to bring that up right now. Look at verse 12. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor. And look at this, and help them. Verse 15. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then shall you return unto the land of your possession, and look at this, enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. You don't have to turn there, but in Psalms 133:1 it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. It's critical for a church to have unity. I've been in a church where the unity wasn't there. We strived to have it, and I was part of the problem. I thought I was doing good. And you know what? I might have been right doctrinally. I might have been right, but it wasn't my place, and I started causing problems. We don't want to do that. And I don't think we have that problem here. I mean, this church has a good spirit, and I don't feel that at all. But you know what? It needs to be preached so we never have it. We don't want that to enter in. Because unity is a type of a sin that, I mean, not unity is not a sin. Good night. Having discord, God hates it. God hates it among the brethren. It's the kind of thing, it kind of starts eating away on the inside. You develop cliques, and it's this and then against them, and there's not a unity. And I believe Pastor does a very good job, especially soul winning. You get to go with so many different people. It creates a unity here that's fantastic. But with that said, God wants that unity because when you're not unified, you won't succeed. You won't. If you're fighting amongst yourselves, if you're arguing. So when that happens, especially little things that bother you, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't let it bother you. Just let it go. If it's not that big, move on. You know, don't worry about it. And if you're constantly having problems, you know, it's probably there's a problem with you. And you need to figure out what that is, right? If you're angry or you're always complaining about things in the church or whatever, it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, things were the way they were way before you got here. So, you know, you need to look inward. If it starts, you might not say it outward, but if stuff starts coming up, you need to deal with it. Don't create discord in the church. God does not want that. Number five, and lastly tonight, God wants us to follow the man of God. God wants us to follow the man of God. You say, well, wait a minute. You said in the beginning, it didn't matter. God can just use any. Yes, God can. He can use anybody, anyone who's qualified, right? If you're qualified, you get placed in positions just like Joshua. Joshua, not anyone followed Moses. It was Joshua. Joshua was picked by God to follow. Okay, so God wants us to follow our man of God. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 of Joshua chapter 1. It says, and they answered Joshua, this is the people, saying, all that thou commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Isn't that great? Pastor says, hey, we're going to South Sac. Yes, sir. Send me. I'll go there. We're going to North Thomas. Yes, sir. I'll go. If that kind of stuff bothers you or other things that the man of God's doing bother you, like I said, he's in charge. This is a pastor-led church. If you're new and you didn't know what that was, and I've been in churches that weren't that way, and it is a mess. It is a mess. Can you imagine all of us having a say? If we had a business meeting right now, and I said, well, what do you think, brother so-and-so? What do you think, sister so-and-so? Right? It'd be a mess. This formula works because it's God's formula. Amen. Do you realize that when Pastor Miss Joanne started this church, I wasn't even going here. Do you realize that I knew what the vision was? It was so clean. I knew what was being preached, what they believe. It's that straight out of the Word of God, following the Word of God, not a lot of tradition, following the Word of God. Because a lot of Baptist churches have traditions, and they're not all bad, but they're not from the Bible, right? But see, you're sitting in a church that was founded on this. Amen. And you know what you could put stock in? If you leave here and you come back 10 years, this King James Bible will still be here. Amen. You know, isn't that great? You know what? We'll still be knocking doors, amen, right? If you leave and come back, still be hard preaching, amen, still hymns, right? Nothing's going to change. Amen. Rooted. Grounded. Like when I came here, I went to the Striving Together's class, but you know what? I signed it right now. I agree with it. I already know it, right? That's the kind of church you're in that's not going to change. And you need to be really thankful for that. Because if you've never been, if this is your first church, you're really spoiled. You don't know how good you have it. Because there's no place like Verity. There's no place like Verity. But look, because look, it's serious when you don't follow the man of God. I mean, I'm up here and I'm bragging on it because it's true. Verity's great. You guys are great. And like I said, I don't think we have a problem with this. But look at verse 18, the last verse. It says, whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. I mean, look at it. They're saying, if you're not going to follow the man of God, we're going to put you to death. I mean, that's not a New Testament teaching, but it kind of shows how what the Word of God thinks about it. It's serious that God's like, you follow my man, you follow the man that I give you. Because God's all about organization and leadership. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read you a familiar verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's what you're following. And see, people get hung, especially hung up nowadays. They're like, well, don't want to follow man. I'm not following man, following God. Well, see, you find a man that's following God. Because you need to be under a pastor. So you find one who's following God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul talking to Timothy, young pastor. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Do you realize you have that? You have that. I have that. You have a pastor. You have a pastor's wife. I mean, yeah, they're not perfect, but you know what? They are trying to show you this is how a believer should live. Right? This is how a believer should live. And that's great because you have a physical example of people, a family trying to follow God to the best of their ability. Amen. And that's encouraging to me. It is. Because I have a lot of problems. I don't know if you knew that. I have a lot of struggles. I struggle with things. And I haven't been in this thing as long. And see a pastor or a pastor's wife, it's like, how do you do it? How do you do it? Going back to what we talked about. Because you know why? They're plugged into the vine. Their roots are deep. So guess what? They're not going anywhere because of that. And they're constantly being nourished and constantly growing and learning themselves so then they can pass that on to you. So what did we learn from this chapter? Number one, God's not limited to one man. You know, if all the adults in here, if we decide not to serve God, you know, God's all, I'll wait. I'll wait for the young children. They'll rise up. They'll serve me. So that's what I mean when I say that. God's not limited to using certain people. God has chosen to use man because he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God chose to do that, but he doesn't have to use you and me. If I get backslidden, I got someone else. I'll move them right in to your spot. Because you know why? God's plan will go forward. And God's plan will go forward whether or not Verity Baptist Church exists or not. You know, it will. Because you know what? God is so great and so powerful. He's all my plan. It's not going to be hindered by man. It's not going to be stopped by man. But we follow God, so God will continue. So like I said, God's an investor. When you're on his plan, you follow him. It's like the showers of blessings are going to come down. Amen. Number two, God will not forsake us. In all that work, in your soul winning, in your raising your family when the world says you're crazy for the way you're doing it, everything that we teach and we preach, and God says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I won't fail you. It's almost like God's saying, just trust me. You can't see to the end. You can't see it. But, you know, train that child up, and he won't depart from it. All right? Train him up in the way he should go. Amen. No, he won't depart from it. God's saying, I'm not going to leave you. Number three, God's formula for success. What is it? You got to stay humble. Stay humble. And you're going to stay humble by being in church, reading God's word, right? Meditating on God's word, and then doing it. Because you can't just hear it. You got to do it. You got to put it into action. You got to do it. And then God will give you his strength. He'll lift you up to do his work because then he'll be glorified. Number four, God wants unity. He wants us to stay unified in the fight. I mean, could you imagine going to war and you're not unified with your brothers on your side and you're in an actual war? That would not be a good time for you. It's the same thing. We're in a spiritual war. God's saying, I want you guys to be unified to attack the gates of hell. I mean, and there's strength in that unity. And we always must strive to maintain that unity. And number five, God wants us to follow the man of God. Kind of go hand in hand. Unity, strength, together. Get behind the man of God. Follow him as he follows Christ. And let's be strong and of good courage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I do thank you for the book of Joshua, Lord. And I thank you for all that we can learn from it. Joshua's success, and you wanted Joshua to succeed, Lord, so you strengthened him as he did what you asked. And I pray that everyone that's in this room tonight, Lord, that they will do what you asked. They'll read your word and follow you and be committed to being a servant for you, Lord, to serve you and to reach the lost. And Lord, I ask you continue to be with Verity Baptist and to bless this church and to strengthen it and continue to grow it because it's healthy and because you're investing in it, Lord. And I pray you keep us safe, and I pray you bring Pastor and the boys back to us. And Lord, I pray also that you be with the soul winning tomorrow and the weekend, be with church. And just bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen.